Oh yeah, we are back on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap. It is presented by our friends at Kobos Insurance Center, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. Your favorite duo is back. He is Tom Evans, the Hall of Famer. I am not the Hall of Famer, but I'm Rocco Nucci, here to talk some high school wrestling with you guys as we got a special guest lined up here for episode one, week one, whatever you want to call it. The legendary Dan Ternus will be joining us here in a couple of short minutes, but Tom, first and foremost, awesome to have this show back for another season with you. And as we were kind of talking about this in the off season, you had more than one person kind of bugging you about if and when this thing might come back to fruition. And lo and behold, here we are. I just thought that spoke volumes to how much people in our area really seem to care about our wrestling coverage here on WEOL.
Well, Lorain County certainly is a wrestling county, and the coaches have come to love the show and look out for it. And I know a lot of the fans do as well. So it's real exciting when people say, hey, we listen in on Wednesday, and you know, who are we going to have on next week? Or, hey, have so-and-so on, and we love that you got to talk to some wrestlers. So that's a great thing. I think the show's grown over the last couple of years, and really excited about this upcoming season as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Last year was a lot of fun with a lot of our local wrestlers making some tournament runs, hoping for more of the same this season as we kind of get going. But again, big thanks to all of you guys for tuning in every week to our High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, again, presented to you this season by our friends at Kobos Insurance Center, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. So with that being said, let's step aside, take a quick timeout. When we come back, it'll be the legendary Dan Ternus who joins us right here again on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, brought to you by Kobos Insurance Center. You're listening right here on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM. We're on the mobile app, and Tom, we're online
at WEOL.com.
We're back on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, presented by Kobos Insurance Center, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. I'm Rocco Nucci. He is Tom Evans. And on the hotline, we have our first guest of the 2024-2025 wrestling season. And it's a good one. He's a good one, I should say. Legendary coach from Southview High School. He was inducted into the Ohio chapter of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame this past October, just a couple of short months ago. You know him as Dan Ternus, who joins us on the hotline. Dan, first and foremost, thank you for joining the show, kicking off our 2024-2025 wrestling coverage season. How are we doing today?
Doing fine.
And he said Dan Ternus, and as I said, down in Columbus, anybody that's been around wrestling, been around the Southview program, knows it's just Ternus. It's just Ternus. The kids would yell across the gym, hey, Ternus, and Danny and Tommy would both look, but that's how he was known. Dan, thanks for joining us. Dan, you know, you got inducted to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, and your story's a great one, the founder of the Southview program. Tell us a little bit about where you come from and the starting of that legendary program over at Southview.
You know, it was all started with by Frank Fiore bringing me in. I was one of his wrestlers back in 60, I guess I started in 59, 60, or 60, 61, somewhere in there. He started me, and from there on, he kept close tabs on me all the way through high school and into college, and then he became the faculty manager at Southview when it first opened up, and he said, hey, you want to leave Elyria? And because I was coaching that time at Elyria with Bill Pearson for 2 years, and I was ready to stretch out and go. So he questioned me, talked me into going down there. So that's where it actually started, that in 1969 when Southview opened. But it was a heck of a hard start, but you know, that's where I actually started.
And Dan, you gave me some great advice as a young coach when I first came over the first scrimmage. You said, forget about trying to wrestle St. Ed's in a dual meet. You'll see them soon enough. Find wins for your kids. And tell us about that, because after your first season, you never had a losing season as a head wrestling coach, a losing dual meet season. So tell us about how you built that program and how you instilled confidence in those kids that didn't come from a wrestling background. And you were the founder. It was ground up at Southview for the Southview Saints.
Well, you know, like I said, we started out very slow. We lost the first season, but after that, the kids started getting confidence, and I had some outstanding assistants come in and help too. I started with Jim Lavery. He's actually an official down in Medina. He was with me for a number of years, but it wasn't easy, because that first year, when I had that first meeting, I think I said something at the banquet that, you know, the kids asked her, I had like 25, 30 kids there wanting to know what wrestling was, and we put on a little demonstration. And one of the last questions, well, where's the ropes? Where's the ring? I mean, that's how much they knew. They didn't know crap. So, but after the first year or so, we started to build, and then kids started getting. We had a couple real good kids that first year with, like, Eddie Soto was probably one of the first ones that got the program going. And, you know, you get one or two that are pretty tough, and then they start spreading around them, and that was the secret of getting – 2-3 guys going, and then, you know, as people around them, we started to build from there. But then after the second year, my brother said he came in the second year, and that's when we started winning, but no, he was wrong. He didn't come in until I won the second year, and then Tommy came in the third year and started helping us there. But it just built from there. And like I said, a lot of the kids, after they graduated, they came back and helped and worked with us. And then I had other good assistants coming in. And Pepe Ruiz was one of my first wrestlers that wrestled for me. He was with us for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. Well, he still, up to a couple of years ago, was coaching with us in baseball. So that's actually how we got things going.
Dan, talk to us about some of those legendary kids, you know, the Juggy Franklins, the Rico Kimbayas, the Jimmy Johnson, some of those kids that that were just the cornerstone of that program. And some of those kids that you're still real, real close to this day.
Oh, yeah. You know, my first state champ was Russ Wilhelm. He was just a little skinny 98-pounder. He had a backside headlock that he won the state title with as a sophomore. He was one of the state champs. We had 7 state champs. I think David Singletary was maybe the second one, and then Billy Kopp. And then we got into the 90s where we had or the 80s where G.T. Taylor and Robert Taylor were 2 state champs. Then into the 90s, where we had the second in the state as far as the team, we had Juggy Franklin won 2 state titles. And, man, did I miss anybody? Is that 7? Billy Kopp was in the 80s also. So those were my 7 state champs. But, yeah, you get a couple, like I said, a couple guys around them, and then they start building. And the big thing was we didn't stay in the area. I thought that really helped the program. Like you said, we didn't wrestle St. Ed's at all. The first few years we did, we got our butts beat. But after that, I said, hey, let's start branching out, spreading the program to different places. We went to Pennsylvania. We went to West Virginia. We went to Indiana. We went to the Western Ohio, so we would see different officials, different styles. I think that's what really – and the kids got very confident of – you know, when we went to Pennsylvania, it was where'd we go there? It was a big tournament in California, PA. And we got our – well, I think we took 2nd in the tournament. I think the team out of Chicago beat us. But kids started to build confidence there and then just went from there.
Dan, you also built some really cultural things over there that are still kind of carried on today. You know, as far as I know, you're the father of the Turkey Run and the infamous hospitality room. And I woke up on Friday after Thanksgiving, and I texted Nick Stepanovich, one of my former wrestlers, and I said, shouldn't we be at Southview for a scrimmage this morning? You know, that tradition of some of those things. Talk to us about building those traditions at Southview and building your program and how you built a culture over there.
Well, you know, first of all, it started with administration. Munchie Pagan, and we had some real good – was our principal. And it seemed like the teachers got behind us all the way, too. Of course, we had to keep close tabs on grades and things. So I was constantly getting grades on kids and checking with teachers and seeing how they're acting. And that brought a lot of parents into it, because a lot of parents back in those days said, hey, if they're acting up, whatever you do to them, they're going to get double back here at home. So, I mean, you know, I had the backing of the parents. And then as far as that hospitality room, I still haven't found one that's good.
No.
And that scrimmage, the scrimmage was famous at Southview as the hospitality rooms and things like that. When Brunswick folded on the tournament, I said, hey, I'd like to have this tournament. That's how I got the Southview tournament. It was called the Campana Classic at that time. But that's how I got that over to Southview during Christmas break. And it just was tremendous, because the parents came out and they brought the food. My mom and dad was actually in charge of it. And then we had the Finley family that they're famous. They're still, the son Danny is still the head coach at Lorain High. But, you know, the Finley family, I had so many different families that worked together. It was like a big family. I mean, everybody enjoyed everybody to be around each other. And it just kept building and building. It was a pleasure being there.
Dan, yeah, you know, it's in your blood, and I know that you still aren't too far from wrestling. Tell us what you're doing these days.
Do I have to?
Well, I didn't ask you specifically, so I kind of left it wide open for you because you prepped me yesterday when I talked to you. But you know, when I think the point I'm trying to make is when wrestling's a part of your system, you never get too far from it. We always find our way to drift back around it.
I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I'm still with my son Brad is the head baseball coach at Lorain High. I'm still working there. We had open gym on Sunday. I went down for open gym working with the baseball players. But the other thing which you're talking about is wrestling. I got back into wrestling after I had retired. I retired in 2003. I stayed to 2005 in wrestling. And then I've been out for quite a few years. Then my grandson, Devin Juristi, got him into wrestling, and he was pretty good youth wrestler and so forth. And I followed him right through Amherst Junior High. I worked out just as a parent, concerned parent, working with the junior high. And then last year was his freshman year at Amherst High School. So I said, hey, why not? Bill Walker was there, and then they brought in Tom Milkovich, Dan Milkovich, and myself and Walker. It was the oldest. It had to be the oldest. I don't know how many years of wrestling we had. It had to be the oldest crew alive, I think. But they asked me, this year, Dan passed away a couple months ago, and they were caught without a coach. And, I said, hey, I'm going to be there. No question about it. I'll be there, and I'll be working with the kids. And as long as my grandson's there, that's blood. You got to stay with that. I know South Lorain and the people of Lorain can't see me wearing the green and the gold, and that's the way it goes. It just has to be that way. So I'm an assistant now at Amherst, and I'm really enjoying it. We got some real good kids that are working hard. Tommy Milkovich is the head coach. He does most of the coaching, and I just overseeing things and helping each kid out.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, I do want to ask you one more, but before we let you go, and I kind of wanted to ask you this based off the article that I read from Tim Gebhardt in the Chronicle-Telegram that he wrote on you back in October. Real humble beginnings, it seems like, for you, obviously, with the program that you built over there at Southview. Is that a big factor with just sort of how you built things and how you continue to coach to this day, kind of keeping yourself humbled, remembering kind of where things began and started with you and going from there? How much does that factor into just to kind of your style and the way you've coached?
Well, I think it was a big factor. I was born and raised on a farm, and we were hardworking. We had to milk the cows and get up early in the morning. And with my brother Tom, I mean, you know, my assistant coaches with Tom and them, they really helped. But overall, I mean, it just carries over. You can't be cocky about it. You've got to keep your grounded, and the kids see how it goes. So I think you just have to be humble and carry on. But you got to have that inner confidence in yourself that you can express it to the kids, too. So I hope I answered your question there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, certainly did. Certainly did. It's a fine line, I think, to toe sometimes between that arrogance and that confidence. And it seems like you've kind of nailed walking that. So, hey Dan, thank you very much for joining us here on the show. What an awesome way to kind of kick off our wrestling coverage this season. And looking forward to maybe having another conversation with you down the road here soon.
Okay, I'll be over at Kobos tournament on Saturday.
Nice.
Kobos does a nice job for advertising and backing wrestling. That's a great family.
Mm-hmm. And they're the sponsors of this show. We are forever indebted to Kobos. They do such a tremendous job supporting wrestling here in Lorain County.
Unbelievable. That's a great family. Really is. Known them for years.
Certainly is.
Too bad they went to St. Ed's, though.
All right, okay. Dan. Well, you take care. Appreciate it, the time, as always.
All right, fine.
Thanks Dan.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
And that is Dan Ternus, again, the legendary coach over at Southview, inducted into the Ohio chapter of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame this past October. Again, awesome article from Tim Gebhardt in the Chronicle that came out in October. I encourage some of you to go back and try to read that if you haven't done so already. It was a fun conversation. Obviously, you two seem to be trouble anytime you're in the same room together, but that was a lot of fun with Dan.
No, I have a lot to thank Dan for. As a young coach, you know, my first and second year out there, we would go over to Southview, and Dan just... I don't think he was even intentionally mentoring me, but just kind of sitting around and saying, you know, we talked to me about scheduling, and the first thing he said to me, he goes, Tommy, find wins for your kids. Forget all that. You're going to see St. Ed's, and you're going to see South. You're going to see us soon enough. You're a Division I school. Find places for your kids to win. Find places for your kids to get confidence. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, I stole off of him as a coach, we did the turkey run on Thanksgiving Day where we hid turkeys, frozen turkeys out in the woods, and the kids went out and found them after a run. So all those things were so important to building the culture of the program, and those came from Dan Ternus. You know, that was me sitting and watching and learning from certainly one of the masters of our sport.
Well, to find your wins, I mean, you say that every week, it seems like, when we're on the show kind of talking to our different coaches about building their respective programs and things like that. So certainly seems like the kind of guy that you'd want to, quote-unquote, steal some things from. So good deal. And again, a big thanks to Dan Ternus for joining us here on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap. It is brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. All right, let's step aside, take one final timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the preseason rankings, the early season action, and all that there is to look forward to in this upcoming wrestling season. We'll be back after this timeout right here on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM. We're on the mobile app, and Tom, we're online
at WEOL.com.
We're back for one final segment here on the High School Wrestling Weekly Recap, brought to you all season long by our friends at Cobos Insurance Center. Cobos Insurance Center, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. I'm Rock Anucci. He's Tom Evans. Once again, a huge thank you to Dan Ternus for joining us last segment. In case you missed it, no worries. You'll be able to listen to the replay of this show tomorrow morning over at WEOL.com. Just find that wrestling section under the sports tab, and you will be all set. That's where the show will be posted each and every week. So again, I'm Rock Anucci. He's Tom Evans. And Tom, I know we want to save this last segment just to talk about some new coaches in the area, dive into those preseason rankings, how some of our teams and wrestlers are looking, you know, in the early onset of the season. And then we can talk about some of the upcoming action here in the early going before we say goodbye tonight. So why don't we start with some of the new coaches in the area? Who do we got as far as new faces here on the Lorain County wrestling scene?
Well, as I looked around, it looks like we got three. Jim Patrizzi takes over at Brookside for Andrew Smith. Andrew Smith is still going to stay on the staff over there, and Jim's been on that staff for a number of years, so shouldn't be a real big shakeup over at Brookside. Dustin Ferris taking over for Joel Melvin. Joel Melvin moved on to take a principal's job over at Cuyahoga Heights, and not able to coach. Dustin's been a part of that staff for a long, long time over there, so Dustin's going to step in at North Ridgeville. And as we heard from Dan Ternus, that Tom Milkovich, the Hall of Famer himself, kind of stepping in and taking over at Amherst for Bill Walker in that program over there, and certainly you know, Tommy's a legend in his own right over there.
You know, I know Joel's in good hands over there with the principal position at Heights. We can't knock that, but man, oh man, am I going to miss some of our conversations with him and some of the swag that we got from him, especially last year. I got, what, 4 North Ridgeville Wrestling t-shirts from him?
Well,
so.
He's offered to step in anytime we need an interview for the week, that he's ready, willing, and able to step in for us.
Good deal. We're certainly looking forward to that, hopefully here sooner rather than later. Let's talk about some of these preseason rankings. Now, I know with certain sports, you know, it's just kind of, they are what they are. They get put out there just so you kind of have an idea of what to look out for. But what kind of stands out to you as we look at some
of
these?
Well, there's a lot of different forums out there. I go to Boro Fan. He's an old Chanel wrestler. I'll use Dubstat for some of the girl stuff later in the year. But looking at Division I, first of all, Bennett Wachter, the sophomore over at Elyria, has certainly at 106 pounds, had a great offseason out at Fargo. A good lightweight there, ranked at 113 pounds. Ranked 13 is Caden Rosario from the junior from over at Lorain. At 138, which is probably one of the deeper weight classes in Division I. You got Blake Cancel from Elyria, who's had two really good years. He's now a junior this year. At number 11, Jack Valerino. At Avon Lake, the senior, who's just kind of, you know, Jack's been down to the state tournament looking to break through and get on the podium over there. at 144 pounds at 22. Ranked 22 is Tony Marasco from Avon, the junior. And at 25, Pierre Greenhill from North Ridgeville. At 150 pounds, Gavin Andrews from Avon Lake, the senior. At 157 pounds, Will Schnabel's ranked 19th. Will was banged up a little bit last year. I think they're really expecting some big things out of Will this year. At 165 pounds, Terrell Calhoun from Elyria, the senior. At 175 pounds, ranked 20th, is Cameron Wimbley. Cameron got off to a real hot start last year and kind of cooled off at the end of the year, but he's a senior. And then at 215, Ian Englehart, who will be starting at left tackle tomorrow night for Avon in the state championship football game. So I don't think we're going to see Ian at the Cobos Classic, is where Avon opens up. But those are some of the D1 kids.
As far as the D1 maybe teams go, from a team perspective, Tom, are there any rosters that really stand out to you, make you say, okay, wow, you definitely got to catch these guys in action once or twice this season?
Well, I think that's going to be the fun of D1. I think that the our primary D1 conference here is the Southwest, mm-hmm. and it has Elyria, Avon Lake, Amherst, Midview. I just think that's going to be a dogfight this year, and I think we're really going to see who's got some depth in the Southwest this year, because everybody's got some really, really good kids. But it's going to be, can you fill the weight classes and can you score at every weight to help you win dual meets and to help you win that conference meet? So I'm really interested in to see how the SWC shakes itself out this year.
Amazing how that goes for any sport, really. Basketball, baseball, softball, volleyball, for that matter. SWC, is always a dogfight. Do you got Division II rankings over there as well, Tom?
Yeah, well, not too many Division II schools in the county. We've got Firelands at 144, Damari Campbell, the sophomore, is ranked. At 150, returning state qualifier from Vermilion, Aiden Kaiser. Aiden got down there last year, and I think he got a wind under his belt. I think Aiden's ready to kind of soar a little bit, and I think that's really the bulk of it until we get to 215. You got Cohen Mooney, the senior from Vermilion, also had a really solid year this year, looking to get to Columbus and get on the podium down there.
Fantastic. All right, so that pretty much does it for our preseason rankings then. As far as upcoming action goes here in the early goings, Tom, I know we got the Cobos coming up.
My phone will be ringing off the hook tonight if we short the D3 people.
I'll just crawl under the table now while you do that. Go ahead, Tom. My apologies.
Well, actually, we're starting off at 106 pounds. We got Bodie Gibbs, the freshman out of Columbia. That name sounds familiar. His dad's the head coach over at Baldwin-Wallace, and Baldwin-Wallace was ranked in the top five in D3, but Bodie's had a great youth career. The one returning state champion in the county this year, Michael Fry, is ranked fourth at 113 pounds. How's that for respect? You're a returning state champ and you're ranked fourth. That's the dog-eat-dog world of wrestling right now.
No kidding.
And Clearview allotted ranked kids at ranked number 12 at 113 pounds. Sylvester Montez from Clearview, the junior, at 120 pounds. Ninth-ranked Colin Ekman from Clearview, the senior. At 132, one of the deepest weight classes in the state in Division III. You've got Chase Parker from Clearview at 15 and Andrew Sorensen at 16 from Columbia. At 150 pounds, you got Cameron Williams from Clearview at 150 pounds. And 157 pounds, Josiah Longo from Clearview. If those names sound familiar, big football seasons for both of those young men this year. And when we get into the upper weights, Keystone's going to flex their muscles a little bit. At ranked number 22 at 190 pounds, Jonathan Gould from Keystone, the senior. And ranked 4 at 215, Jordan Fulmer from Keystone, the senior, as well. So those are some D3 rankings. And just by the makeup of that, the LCA is going to be a real dogfight this year, too. I'm really looking forward to it. I know Chris Vondreska's got a really nice squad over at Vermilion, over at Keystone. He looks to have added some youth to that lineup. It's going to be see how they can space them out. I know Columbia's got some real, real nice kids coming back. Don't sleep on Firelands. Black River's always got some tough kids. Clearview, we just read the number of ranked kids. So the LCA could be real exciting this year as well.
You took my follow-up question right from me. I was just about to ask you your thoughts on how the Lorain County League might play out, but he kind of gave us an early synopsis right there. So are we good now, Tom, to move on to maybe some of the upcoming action that we have? Am I safe from all of our local wrestling figures?
Oh, yeah, we're safe. God, if we'd have forgot those Columbia kids, I'm going to tell you what, it'd have been a long winter for me.
I don't need Coach Giuliani on me, man. No, he can eat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Danny's a great friend, and Danny really gets me a lot of information in a timely fashion, so I appreciate that. But some of this week's stuff, we talked about the Cobos. That's the granddaddy of the tournaments here in Lorain County. The Cobos has been going on for 40-plus years. The Cobos kind of took over sponsorship of that almost 20 years ago. Great supporters of wrestlers, but that's got a big Lorain County Field in it. You got Avon Lake over there, Amherst, Elyria Catholic, North Ridgeville, and Wellington, all at the Cobos. That'll be Friday night and Saturday. At the Lorain Classic, which also goes Friday, Saturday, you've got Lorain, Elyria, Vermilion, Black River, and I think Firelands is over there.
Okay.
At the North Coast Classic, which is 40-plus teams over at Independence, you got Keystone and Columbia. That's a great test, early test for them. And I think Midview opens up at the Solon Comet Classic. They've been out there the last couple of years. Really good way to get the season started off over there.
Fantastic. Where are you going to be at this weekend?
This weekend, I'll be at Kent State Friday night doing a Kent State dual meet with Lake Erie College.
Okay.
And Saturday, I'm going to try to spread myself around a bit. I'm going to definitely get over to the Cobos for a little bit, and if I can, I'm going to head over to the Lorain Classic as well. Keep myself in the county here to check out some of these county schools and see what's going on with them.
The engine that does not stop in Tom Evans. We got state football coverage on Thursday, and then right back to the wrestling scene for Friday and Saturday. Look at you here in the month of December. It just
ready,
never
let's,
stops,
let's
does it?
Let's go. Let's lock and load. Let's get it going. I'm excited for this, as a lot of these teams are excited for the start of the season.
Sure, absolutely. Anything else from you, Tom, before we say goodbye?
No, next week we'll pick up, and we're going to talk a lot of girls wrestling next week because girls wrestling here in Lorain County has exploded. Look at the size of some of these teams. Columbia's got a big team. Elyria's got a lot more girls out. Vermilion's got a good team. Lorain, so we're going to talk some girls wrestling next week, talk about the results from this week, and really get the season going here.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. So, again, a big thank you to Dan Turnus for joining us here on the weekly wrestling recap. Again, if you missed that conversation with Dan, you can find it at WEOL.com tomorrow morning. I'll have it posted there. Try and get that on the front page. It'll also be under the wrestling tab under the sports section. So, for Dan Turnus, for Tom Evans, I am Rocco Nucci saying thank you to listening to week one here in 2024-2025 of the High School Wrestling Week. Recap. It is brought to you by our friends at Cobos Insurance Center. Big thank you to Cobos Insurance Center for sponsoring this program yet again. They are your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agent. You've been listening right here on AM 930 WEOL 100.3 FM on the mobile app and Tom online
at WEOL.com.